Castology.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Castology, where we, your castologists, don't laugh at me when I say that.
I didn't know where you were going with that sentence. It. You're like, we're your humble
servants.
I am a castologist. Patrick is our humble servant.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. And Liz is yet to decide what she is.
I'm a bit of both.
And yeah, so we're here to both review and recommend podcasts because there are millions of them and you need help deciding which ones to listen to.
Can I put castologist on my resume, do you
think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm doing Pat's resume for him at the moment. Yeah, I will put that on your resume.
Yeah. No, we should definitely mention this. It's very official sounding when you have a podcast.
Well, this is why when we were going through the show notes, I was like, we have to capitalize the C in castologist because it gives us authority immediately. Oh, yeah. We're totes profesh, guys. Like
we are therapists.
Can we put a TM or something as well? No.
We're podcast therapists.
Can we put, we can put little CS on at the end of our, like Elizabeth Best.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so each week we will review the podcast that our other hosts have recommended the week before, and then we will come to you with three brand new podcasts for you to listen to over the week.
Aren't
before
we
review them next week.
We're so lovely to be bringing this to the people.
So you can listen along,
I guess. Listen with us, folks.
So let's get into our reviews. So last week we recommended.
It was a comedy theme.
Yes. A comedy theme of A Very Fatal Murder, which is a scripted comedy. The Jimmy Dore Show, which was a podcast written and performed by a comedian and his comedian.
It's not entirely a
friends.
Comedy podcast. It's half. It's the most comedic,
it would be
comedic
something
one
slash
I had left.
Comedy.
Yeah.
And then I recommended the film Reroll, which is a comedy role play podcast.
Yes.
Can we start with Patrick's recommendation? Because I have some stuff to say.
Sure, go ahead.
So, and I was saying this to Zane last night, your podcast choices really do say so much about who you are.
Do
as
they
a
really?
Person. They really do. And when Zane said that in one of our first episodes, I think, I was like, yeah, okay. But now, like, I get it. Okay. So, It's political, and I feel like pretty much almost all the things you've at least recommended to me have been political because I did get Tulsi Gabbard for the
you did
first.
Yes.
So I feel like I've consumed more politics in the last month than I probably have in a long time because I've been avoiding politics for a really long time because it makes me sad. But in this format, I really enjoyed it because it's the same way that I like my murder shows with comedy. Like this is. It brings an unpalatable subject to the people in a way that doesn't make them want to go off and kill themselves at the State of the World.
It's definitely a little bit irreverent.
Yes.
And
yeah.
It's
at
not
times,
self-important.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, the episode that I listened to, I kind of just did a bit of a roulette scroll and then went, that one. So the episode I listened to was all about the Michelle Wolf roast at the Correspondents' Dinner.
Right.
Which I thought I was laughing out loud in my car because of the things that they were talking about with regards to, they got all up in arms that everybody was having a go at Sarah Huckabee Sanders' appearance and then didn't get up in arms at the fact that they also made fat jokes about Chris Christie as well. Mm. So, like, it was a subject that I actually knew a lot about, so I had a very good laugh at that. But in that particular episode, he then got somebody on the phone that wasn't one of his comedy impersonator guests, and the rest of the episode just turned into a political rant and I was not laughing anymore.
Yes.
So I picked another episode and listened to it, and it was incredibly funny because the segments were broken up with all of the impersonator segments, which I find
format.
Very funny.
Because if it was just all rant, it would get a bit.
Well, this is
bogged.
What I figured. This is why I took myself to a second episode because I thought I was like, oh, wow, this first third was really funny. And then all of a sudden he's speaking to someone who I think was like an actual congressperson or some kind of lobbyist.
It would have been someone impersonating an actual congressperson. Or
no,
lobbyist,
he
no?
was actually talking to a for realsies person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Which is why, because the first phone call was an impersonator. The second one he was actually introduced the guest and it was like a full for realsies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it got very political, ranty, and not comedy. But
he
then
does
I listen,
have a lot to say.
And look, all of it valid. So I listened to another episode and that episode was pretty much all comedy through the entire one. And I quite enjoyed, especially enjoyed the impersonator phone calls. Are they improvised or is
I
that-
think they're written by the guy who does right. them. Well, I actually don't know if the guy who's written it, because I know there are writers for the show and that guy, Mark, or is it Mike? I can't remember his name, but
yeah,
he's the in-house impersonator.
I liked how off the cuff they felt because he was even like
Mike McRae.
Yeah. Like Jimmy was cracking up at some of the stuff that Mike was saying, which made me feel like he probably,
I think
hadn't
they are quite well written. A lot of those phone calls as well.
You know, there were parts where he was laughing so hard and Mike was keeping such a deadpan voice thing going and I'm laughing so hard because he can't stop laughing. So in that, you know, that's how I like my politics. I like my politics with a side of comedy because otherwise it hurts my soul.
Oh, you're going to hate my main political podcast.
Oh, give me a few weeks. Give me a break.
Well, I really enjoy the Jimmy Dore show because I can weather a political rant. Because I find them very cathartic, even when I'm listening to someone whose politics do not 100% mesh with mine, I enjoy listening to an impassioned speaker who believes something challenging my beliefs. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll be angry at the end of it, but then I will think I will have my own political rant in my head about all the things that they got wrong. that being said,
yeah,
Jimmy Dore is pretty similar to my own politics. So the jokes that he were making were really landing. That being said, it went on a bit too long for me.
Yeah.
Like if it was maybe 2/3 the length that it was the episode. Yeah. I listened to 2 episodes, the most recent one, and then I did what you did. I went back a few months and hit a random one. And they were pretty similar. Like he's very well produced.
I think he's been doing the same sort of thing for a while. I think way back in the day when he was like, because it's still on the Young Turks network, but I think it was like a YouTube show. I don't know if it's still.
Yeah, well,
is.
they spoke.
They
of
talk about visuals,
and videoing things as well.
Because they were watching the Michelle Wolf thing and talking about, you know, see the look that she just gave her. Then, one thing I did really like was that he was equal opportunity in ratting out politicians. Like he had a wonderful massive rant about. Exactly what we were speaking about last podcast. It's in my brain. You're making me think too much about politics. About how Hillary Clinton gave away the election. Like I can't talk right now. He's basically, he'll lambast people on all sides of politics.
Yeah,
and I respect that.
That's what I like.
I think
about
that's
him.
His political leanings at the moment, at least American political leanings, is that he's done with the party system. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's.
Which I am.
Yeah, that well, I think the world is becoming a little bit that way at the moment, just because it's getting a little ridiculous, just the sports teamy aspects of
it.
The thing that I don't get with American politics that makes me the angriest is that the way that it works, the whole idea is to have the party tear itself apart from within till they've selected a candidate and then they unify. I'm like, what about all of the horrible mudslinging that you were just doing against the person that's now your candidate? Like it makes no fucking sense.
That's just to make sure that they can do it when the opposition, they can handle it when the opposition doesn't.
It makes no sense.
But yeah, I think it's very, he knows his format. He does it well, I think. And I think if you listen to one and you like it, I think you'll like it
going forward.
And I think you'll get information from this podcast that you won't get from a lot of mainstream sources.
Yeah.
He's not beholden, like
I said, the jokes and the punchlines, they are funny. If you are looking for a political comedy podcast, this is probably the closest thing I've listened to that could be called a comedy politics that's specifically about politics.
Agreed.
Greg Proops gets political, but it's not.
But that's just because he's cranky.
It's not really, it's not a political
podcast.
He goes
all over the place.
He's like And I think that's what I respected most about this is the fact that there's so much mainstream media is beholden to the 1%, and I kind of like the fact that it's informative and funny and he doesn't have to answer to anyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, podcasting.
That's what the podcasting revolution is all about.
We don't have to answer to anyone
media.
Either.
So I think that's a recommend for Jimmy Dore.
Yeah, for me, it's a recommend if you like politics.
Yeah.
Not a, yeah.
I do. I don't think I will listen to Jimmy Dore very regularly, but I think it's going to be one of the thing, one of the ones that I follow, and every now and then I'll have the urge to go listen to.
Once I'm less angry at the world, I will go back and listen to it. But
oh,
yeah.
Oh, Liz, what you don't realize about getting older is you never get less angry with the world.
Don't tell me I'm going to be shaking my fist at clouds now.
With a shotgun on a rocking chair.
Oh, get off my lawn.
Well, we also listened to A Very Fatal Murder.
We did.
Very short.
Very short, 10 minutes per episode.
So seven part, because there was two parts to episode five, seven episodes.
If there were two parts to episode five, that makes it six episodes?
Yeah.
No, but then there was an episode six.
I'm so confused.
So I think there was seven episodes in total. It was like, it was episode five, part
just
one,
over
episode
an hour,
five, part
that's all
two,
I'm saying.
And then episode six.
And I would just like to say that I feel personally attacked by all the jokes he made about podcasters.
I thought you might.
I loved it
I am
so
smarter
much.
Than everyone else. Thank you very much.
Yes, it does make a lot of jokes at the expense of podcasters, and I think that's why I
and
thought
journalists.
You guys would find. Yeah, well, I'm a journalist, so again,
I
found
so
it super funny.
I think
I
was
like
the funniest
roast
podcast
of my
I've ever listened to, if I'm to be honest.
Ah, yeah.
It was
See, I thought,
so funny.
I wasn't sure if the because it's a very dry wit and satirical and
I'm a big fan of satire.
I thought so. So yay! Oh well, that's good.
It's very funny. Kind of at the end of every episode, I was like, okay, when is this going to end? Because it felt like, I think this is just something that I'm discovering about the way that I listen to things, is it felt like the joke went on one beat too long.
Yes.
And I was worried at like the second episode that like, oh no, there's six episodes of this. Am I going to feel this way? And towards the end, it does start paying off a bit quicker.
Yeah.
So I didn't hold it against it. So I don't think I'll listen to it again, but it was very enjoyable the first time.
There's no point listening to it again, because once it's not something that will, you know, give back. Like,
yeah.
But I think with the podcasting revolution and all of the murder podcasts and investigative journalism podcasts and, you know, lampooning TV series that are, you know, like Making a Murder and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Someone needed to send it up, and sending it up in a short format. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, did you have anything?
Oh, I just thought it was such a fantastic idea and so well executed.
Very well executed. Yeah. Very NPR the whole way through.
Even the tone of his voice and the little music theme that they wrote for and ending on a cliffhanger. Like,
and I didn't know precisely what I was getting into when I first started listening to it. So I was like, I won't give anything away.
Yeah.
Well, like the first bit of dialogue you heard from the residents of the town, I was like, these people sound like they're from a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, this is also because I was wary about introducing this to you before I've actually recommended one of the series that this is a piss take of to you guys. Because like down the track, I do plan on getting you to listen to, and I think you'll find it even more funny in retrospect.
Yeah.
When you listen to the series that it's taking the piss out of.
It's like, have either of you seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place?
Yes.
I have. Taking the piss out of whatever that Stephen King show was, Hospital something or other. So going back and watching some older episodes of that Stephen King Hospital show made Garth Marenghi's Dark Place that much funnier, because you see exactly what they're taking the piss
out of. Well, like in Serial, that's what they do. They'll open each episode with a recap that's quotes from other people, like, I didn't even know that he was there at the library that time. You know, like – and so they just and it's very artistic for that medium, but so easy to take the piss out of.
So easy to mock. All right, and I recommended Film Reroll.
You did.
So for me, I'm an actor, obviously, but unlike you nerds, I don't play tabletop games. Never played. So these guys are constantly asking me if I want to learn how to play Dungeons and Dragons, because pretty much everyone I know plays D&D, and I have no idea about any of it. So I feel like it took me a little while to kind of understand what was happening, being that literally the first time I've ever played a dice roll outcome game was at your house like a month ago when we played the Betrayal
at House on the Hill.
Yes. So once I got into the concept, because I'm a massive film buff and I own a movie review site, so like superquickreviews.com, just for a plug.
Let's just check the show notes.
Yeah, check the show notes. I'm going to make sure I plug it all the time. I loved it. I thought once I actually kind of gone, oh, they're rolling for this and they're rolling for that, and I understood kind of how the gameplay worked.
Yeah.
I thought it was friggin' hilarious. And I know From Dusk Till Dawn very well.
Yes.
I know a lot of Quentin Tarantino stuff way more than I possibly should. But
you're a murder fan, of course you know Tarantino stuff.
Yeah, look. but yeah, I don't know why words aren't working for me today. I loved it. I thought that the game master, what do you call them?
Game master.
Game master. Yeah. Oh, I learned something. So the game master did a very good job of keeping it on control until they get to the titty twister bar, because if they hadn't actually got there, there's no movie, right? There's like
– well,
and there are a million ways to go before you get to the titty twister.
And there are I imagine that if he hadn't got them there, vampires would have come wherever they were
right,
connected to the titty twister or the cartel the or whatever.
Thing down the back.
So yeah.
See, that's like, what I would have wanted to do if I was playing that game.
Is get it away from the movie.
Like, no, like instead of going into the titty twister, why don't we just go around and explore the enormous
So you'd
ruin
be like
behind.
The anarchist who wants to take the
I'd
film
be like
off
straight rail. Indiana Jones. Let's right. go right to the heart of it.
Right.
Because I've seen the movie. I know what happens up there. When they do that shot where you zoom out, it's like, oh my God, what's in there? That's what I want
to
see.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm sure the game master has written. And
so you want to go straight to the climax. Is that what you're saying?
No, I want to go after the climax. Right. I'm going post coitus.
Keep going.
You immediately want to go to the cigarette after.
But yeah.
Sorry, No. I fucking loved it every time they were like getting into character, because occasionally they would just talk about what the characters were doing. But every time they did like the character voice, or they'd fuck up the accent, or, you know, one of them went Georgian.
Someone changed accents halfway through.
Yeah, it became very Georgian for no reason. and then it also made me go, well, maybe I do want to play one of these kind of games, because fuck, that'd be fun.
I mean, and that is the perfect table to play it. Play it with actors who are comfortable with improv and are comfortable with playing the game for the fun of the game rather than to kind of achieve an outcome. That's the ideal way. And I think that's what, because that's why I put it in comedy is because it's not an actual play podcast. Even though they're actually playing a game, it doesn't go through role for role and saying, okay, well, you need to achieve this role to achieve this. And then if you succeed at that, it's more about the situation and the characters playing off each other and the motivations.
It was really strategic as well. Like, some people were like, oh, can I do this? And everyone's like, you shouldn't have asked that and just done it. Like, but I think one of the reasons I liked this so much is because I'm a massive fan of taking familiar characters and putting them in unfamiliar situations. Like, any movie that wants to rewrite a story that I know really well, it's like, oh, you're seeing old friends, but you don't know what's going to happen. So knowing that they're in control of completely fucking up this story, should they so roll the dice that way, I just really enjoyed, you know, being in the familiar situation of knowing the movie and knowing how badly they were fucking it up at some points and how well they were doing keeping it on story and others.
If you loved From Dusk Till Dawn for that, then you should go back and listen to Jumanji.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I want to do that now.
Yes, I should. See, I really wanted to, I saw Back to the Future on there and I was like, ooh, made a note to go back and listen to that one next time as well.
There's a million ways to fuck that up, isn't there?
There are so many ways to fuck that up, because paradoxical time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think similar to Very Fatal Murder, it's such a great idea and it was so well executed. I mean, obviously, what episode number was that? They've had a bit of time to flesh things out.
It was 39 and 40.
They're so good at it.
Yeah, and they release episodes fortnightly, but they do take some significant breaks every now and then, because there's so much preparation.
They sounded like they took a really big break between, or like a decent sized break between the part one and part two, because they mentioned it.
Because they have to split it over sessions, that they had to split that one over sessions, not just episodes. So usually they'll do one movie in a session, but they'll split the session up into episodes.
The sessions more or less uncut?
I think so. I can't pick the cuts in them. I know they take out bits where gameplay comes to a halt.
Yeah.
But they'll sometimes play those at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite, like, oh yes, there's a new one.
It made me want to play it. It made me want to go, who do I know that can be that organized about movies that can make this happen for us, Zane? Who do we know, Zane?
It's me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, future Zane.
It was such a good episode to pick as well. I'm also a big Tarantino fan and I love Dusk Till Dawn. Such a ridiculous film. And
I said in my notes, I'm glad you both enjoyed it a lot. Fucking terrible, awesome movie. It's one of those movies dumpster fire bad, but it's like shiny amazing as well.
Because they have such a great back catalog to go to. So shall we move on to our recommendations this week?
Yes.
So this week we've gone with another theme. We're still trying out the themes. Let us know if you enjoy it or whether you want us to go to more random podcasts. Our theme this week is panel podcasts. So podcasts that have a panel of people that they're talking to rather than hosts with guests across the table. Who wants to go first?
Well, since we were just talking movies, I think I'll go first. Because I'm recommending a podcast called How Did This Get Made? So that's basically like if you've ever watched a movie like From Dusk Till Dawn and thought, how in the ever-loving fuck did this movie get greenlit? And like at what point did the studio bosses go, you know what's a really fucking good idea? What this guy's selling. Then this podcast is 100% going to be your jam. Because they basically, so it's comprised of actor-comedians Paul Scheer, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Mantzoukas.
I love Paul Scheer and I love Jason Mantzoukas.
I love Jason Mantzoukas so hard. You would know her if you saw her face. Right. She's one of those actresses who's been in a bunch
of
stuff.
She's great in Grace and Frankie.
Yes, right, I haven't seen that, but like I recognize her face from a bunch of other stuff.
Have either of you watched The League?
No.
Because that's Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas together. Ah. And that's, I think, where they sort of first burst onto the scene.
See, I'm like massive Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place fan and Jason Mantzoukas in both of those, just my jam. So it's basically these guys watching a movie before they record, taking copious notes about how fucking awful the movie is and at what points it's the most awful. And then they get together and basically add fuel to the garbage fire movie discussion by kind of talking about all of the worst points of the movie and going, what the ever-loving fuck is this? So, yeah, it's lots of different movies that they do. I found that because they pick movies that are genuinely garbage and not always so garbage that it's good, I haven't seen a lot of the movies that they talk about, but it makes me want to see some of the movies along with them somehow. But basically I recommended picking any movie that grabbed your fancy. And my favorites were Con Air, Look Who's Talking To, and Skyscraper, because I just saw Skyscraper and it is the worst. So watching them deconstruct, that was pure joy for me.
Does Dwayne The Rock Johnson have like a robotic arm in Skyscraper? Is that like the thing?
Leg. No, he has a prosthetic
leg from an explosion.
And from the previous Skyscraper
he also somehow manages to swing out the window of a skyscraper using duct tape.
It just looks like San Andreas 2 and that
duct tape.
It's not worth
they
a
actually,
sequel.
They actually, yeah, they do, I think they compare it to that in this and go, why, this is why this movie isn't that.
I was almost in San Andreas.
For realsies?
Well, as an extra, they didn't use my footage though.
Oh.
Because it was filmed here.
Poor baby. Yeah, I know. They do the, there's another, it's like a YouTube show that talks about all of the different characters that are like, it talks about all of the different places that have played other places in movies and how they change things. Like when Brisbane was in
New York.
Ragnarok.
Well, Brisbane makes for a pretty good San Francisco, which I think is what it was for San Andreas.
Really? I thought San Francisco was so much prettier than Brisbane.
There are parts of Brisbane
Gotham
that are kind
in
of
the Dark Knight is parts of New York, parts of Chicago, parts of LA, parts of San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, God. Whoever's going to give them the biggest
Sydney,
tax break.
And I think The Matrix is Sydney as well.
So
I don't know if it's all
the giving them
the
biggest
Matrixes.
Tax break at that time.
So we're picking a movie that we want to
pick
laugh
any
about.
Movie yeah. that you want to. Cool. And it's I find it more rewarding when you know the movie because you can laugh with them, but it's also quite rewarding when you don't know the movie because it makes you want to see this pile of shit.
Sure. Well, do you want to go next, Patrick?
Yes. I almost was going to try and find a new podcast to recommend to you because I don't know that any of the podcasts that I'm subscribed to have panel shows,
which
or are panel
shows.
Which
we probably should have checked before, yeah, before choosing the theme. But then again, you didn't. You could have spoken up instead of just doing your regular thumbs up.
Yeah, I wasn't paying that much attention. So I went with the Rubin Report, which is one of my favorite podcasts, which is a little similar to Jimmy Dore in that Dave Rubin, the host, used to be on the TYT Young Turks Network, but he is a bleeding, well, what does he call himself now? A classical liberal who's been disaffected by the Democratic Party. And so now he is more, well, he gets people from all sides of the political spectrum and hangs shit on everyone pretty much. But occasionally we'll have a sort of panel set up. So I thought that's what I would recommend. The panel episodes the most recent panel episodes to this particular podcast, I put in the show notes for you guys to find.
Does he do, is it usually just him and a guest, or does he
usually it's just him and a guest in his studio. Maybe they'll have a drink and they'll talk shit. I prefer that. I don't know if I prefer it, but I mean that's the meat of the podcast. Right. So, I mean, if you enjoy the panel discussion, you'll probably enjoy the one-on-one stuff he does, you know, with whichever guest tickles your fancy.
Sweet.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I have brought in one of my favorite podcasts of all time, the Intelligence Squared Debates, the US debates. So this is, it's run by a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, Intelligence Squared US. So their kind of mission is to address the extreme polarization of American thought and politics. And restore critical thinking through debate. So usually they ask questions, and I have them up on my phone right now. I'll just go through a couple of the episodes because I've suggested any of them for you. So has Silicon Valley lost its soul? Is smart technology making us dumb? Is Trump bad for comedy? Make yes or no. Mm-hmm. And so the episodes go on for between 40 minutes and an hour, and each week we'll have a different panel of experts on both sides, usually like novelists or professors. If you're talking politics, you'll get actual politicians and Congress members on there. So it really is a panel of experts every week. So they do get the best and brightest
Did you ever do debating at school?
I did debating at school. My school was not heavily debate focused. It was more about sports at my school.
That's depressing. What I was going to ask is how closely do they follow the format of...
Very.
Okay.
They strict Harvard style debate. So they... Right. Timed and moderated, and the outcome is decided by at the studio audience that they debate in front of is polled at the start to see which side they agree with and who is undecided, and then it's the biggest percentage of change from the start to the end as who they've done. So if there was 12% of people agree, 60% of people disagree, the remainder undecided, and then you've got 20%.
So it's the swing percent,
yeah.
Rather than
majority. So if that 12% grows to 20, but still 60% disagree or agree, whatever I said, then the no's will have it.
Yeah. So, that's a cool way of scoring.
And so they do kind of interact with their audience as well, kind of polling them. But I really just like listening to the debates. So I've said, yeah, any of them, any kind of topic that catches your eye, because they're all very static sort of format and quality.
Great. Sounds good. I'm excited. I used to do
it. It's a little drier than both of yours, but
most of my podcasts are pretty dry. This might be
you
one
don't
that I...
Say, no. Well, I know, because I used to do both debating and public speaking at school, and was on the team for both up until grade 12. So, I mean, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a legit debate podcast. If you're a debate nerd, this podcast is for you.
I am indeed a debate nerd, yes.
All right. Well, we've been Castology. If you want to find us, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to submit your podcast to us, we won't guarantee that we will review and recommend it, but we will definitely listen to it. You can go to our website, That's notcanonproductions.com/castology. Or you can reach out to us on any of the social media I mentioned before. All of the shows that we recommended will be in the show notes this week, so feel free to listen in and check us out next week for what we have to say about what we recommended this week.
And I reckon if you like listen along with us, and if you've got opinions on what we've listened to, put them on our social media. Tell Please us what do. You thought yeah. of the podcast, because we'd love to know whether we're just
time conversation.
In an echo chamber and loving our own stuff, or if you guys actually agree with us.
Because I do love podcasts.
I
don't
also,
know if it's come across yet.
Yeah, I might why we're be here, obsessed.
Might need an intervention.
All right. Well, we will catch you again this time next week. I've been Zane C. Weber here with my co-host
Patrick Shearer
and
Liz Best.
Keep listening to podcasts, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.